testimony. Amen. And that's the kind of God we serve. He's in tune to what's going on. If I could not hurt for a second, I was supposed to speak, I think, two or three Sundays ago. And what he said in his testimony was at the time when the Lord laid on my heart, and actually the title of my message at that time was going to be Stranger Danger. And he spoke of how a lot of times we just, you know, sometimes just forget about God. And amen. And there's even a gentleman on my job that I work with said, because this was a time when those prisoners had escaped, and he's a former corrections officer, and he said how when people get in trouble, especially in prison, is when they really start to call out to God. All of a sudden, everybody wants to be saved. When you get in trouble and the danger in not reaching out to God until it's, you know, that point where everything done crashed and everything's going wrong, and where we found out that we have cancer in our body or something major has happened, then all of a sudden everyone wants to run back to God. You know, so everyone has that God conscience. But he said something, he alluded to that in his testimony, but that's how God confirms his word. Amen. But right now we're just going to sing a couple songs. Amen. Hallelujah. This song says, as the deer panteth for the water, my soul, Lord, wants and searches after you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Longs for you, Lord Jesus, from wherever that dry desert area in our lives. Hallelujah. But you alone, Lord, you alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Can you all help us sing this right now? Hallelujah, as the dear one.
Yeah. praise on him. And we bless the Lord and we thank God, amen, for being in the house of prayer one more time. And we thank God. The Bible says that one soul come back to the Lord, there's one rejoicing in heaven, right? That over 99 righteous that needed no repentance. And we thank God for reclaiming Brother Haywood. Amen. Have a little more, and the angel of rejoicing. We ought to be rejoicing also. Give us a praise of the Lord. Amen. Thank God for seeing Shirley there. She's a quiet wonder. She sneaks in and sneaks out. Nevertheless, we're so glad to see Shirley. Amen. And Brother Mackie, M-A-C-K-I-E, no relationship to Elder Mackie, M-A-C-K-E-Y. We're so glad that he's with us over this morning as well. Amen. And he wants to get baptized. Can the church say thank you, Jesus? Come on, can we say thank you, Jesus? Amen. We got to get out of ourselves. Magnify the Lord and worship him. Amen. We're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from the third chapter of Revelation. It seems like this morning we might be dealing with some odds. Amen. It seems like the odds are stacked against us. But our theme is that we believe God against. Come on, we believe God against. So no matter what seems like it's against you, the Lord himself said, if I be for you, who then can be against you? Anybody know the Lord is for us? Then don't worry about the circumstances, but you ought to praise the Lord anyhow. Can we say thank you, Jesus? Our scripture reading will be coming from the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. I don't know about y'all, I always got to praise. I like the songwriter said, I got to praise. I'm going to always say it. I got to praise and I got to get it out. So you can be as quiet as you want. But when I just think of the goodness of Jesus,
to the end.
Can we all have it? If not, it's on the screen. Amen. unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he that hath the seven spirits of God and seven stars. I know that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh me, that's a challenge, he said. There's some things in our way that we got to overcome. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him what the Spirit said. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for everyone that's assembled here in thy presence. For we realize that in your presence is the fullness of joy. Lord, we ask you to send a word today. Lord, send a word that will speak into all of our lives, all of our situations, all of our challenges. And Lord, even if you said you sent your word to heal, to deliver, and to set free. Lord, we ask for your anointing to be present. For without you, we can do nothing. Now, Lord, help us to hide behind the anointing. Lord, help us to demagnify self and to exalt Christ. Lord, we just pray and ask in all that you might be glorified. And for this we thank you. Give the church say in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Truly, we do bless the Lord. I do have one announcement I forgot to make already. On August the 20th, for those that have calendars, iPads, and this pad, and that pad, August the 20th, we are scheduled to be in service with Bishop Bonner's organization in Albany. Amen. It's the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is Minister Simon, also referred to as Pastor Simon's friend. Amen. So we are scheduled to be in service. The praise team will be singing, and if I don't buy out of it, I will be preaching. Amen. It's a statewide convention, so he asked me to please make that announcement, because they would love to have a church there. So you have enough time, August the 20th, which is a Thursday evening, and it's all, I forgot what hotel on Wolf Road. What hotel is on Wolf Road? Some hotel on Wolf Road. I don't know if it's Marriott or which one. It's at Marriott on Wolf Road. Amen? All right, now we get that out of the way. Let's get back to the Word of God. Verse 1 of Revelation chapter 3. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Are you sure you with me?
Yes.
Can you shout, thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
I don't know if you all. Can we all shout, thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
The Bible said that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. The scripture says in everything, we ought to give.
Yes.
In what?
Everything.
Everything means sometimes things are like, I like them. Some things aren't to my satisfaction. Amen. But I still got to give them thanks. Things might not be the way I want them in my employment, but I still got to give them
thanks.
Things may not be the way I want them in my house, but I still got to give them
thanks.
The community might not be in my favor, but I still got to give them
thanks.
The employer might be acting up, but I still got to give them. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen.
Yes.
And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things says he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. God said, I know
thy
thy works.
That thou hast made them thou living and are. And our thought is going to come out of this scripture. Amen. A name signifies a reputation. Right? If you got a name, that means people know something about you. You ever talk to me? I, you know, every once in a while, sometimes I have to get into some spiritual jumping jacks. Just to get the blood flowing. All right, so you gotta talk to me. I don't like a quiet church. I'm from down south. Right, Brother Mackey? Down south, we have church. Down south, we don't call it church. We call it church. We have some real church. Hey, listen, no, I don't like a quiet church. Amen. Whatever you are, get out of there. Leave it aside. It says, speak, Lord, but I serve there. A good name signifies a reputation. He said, you have a name that thou liveth, but you really are dead. So our message on this afternoon is a good reputation, but spiritually dead. A good reputation, but spiritually dead. And I'm going to use some examples, not that I'm trying to dishonor them or bring a bad side on them, but there are some people that have had a great reputation, and in everybody else's eyes, they had everything going for them, but on the inside, they were spiritually dead. I don't say this to dishonor her or bring it down, but Whitney Houston was one of the greatest gospel singers ever before she changed. And to many of y'all know Whitney Houston. Y'all right? Who don't know Whitney Houston, don't raise your hand, because y'all do. She had a great reputation as far as the world. But her personal life had trauma. Her personal life had issues. So even though she sang gospel songs, even in the end, spiritually she was dead. We all know Robin Williams, the great actor, received Grammy Award, Logo Awards, Emmy Awards. In the eyes of all mankind, he had it all together, but he committed suicide because he was spiritually dead. A good reputation. But a reputation alone will not save you. Reputation alone will not help you get to heaven. Cindy McCreary was a gospel singer, and she was only 37 years old. Very popular, very famous, but she committed suicide. So within the eyes of men, she had a good reputation. But in the eyes of God, she was spiritually dead. And the Lord tells them in verse 2, he said, now be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Amen. And if we were to break that down, the word watchful is the Greek word gregorio, which means to give strict attention to be alert. It means to work a watch out for your spirituality. The word watch means to give some attention to your spirituality. Amen. The Bible says this, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. When you got a reputation in everybody else's sight, you have a tendency to forget about what God thinks about us. So he says, watch, which means to be alert, to be sensitive spiritually, to be keen, to be in touch with God. Watch and strengthen. Amen. To strengthen means you need to be established. You need to be settled in the faith. Why? Because God said, I have not found your works perfect before me. Now, what does your reputation is so great because I see a part of you that's short. I see a part of you that needs help. So I got a good reputation. You know, you ever have some of those people that just speak so well of everybody and then some stuff come out later and you're just like, I am shocked. The world was shocked when Robin Williams committed suicide because he had a good reputation. And then everybody else asked, he had it all together. He had what everybody wanted. But he decided he was spiritually dead. I wonder how many this afternoon can personally look at themselves. This is not a somebody else's salvation. This is not your husband or your wife's salvation. It's not your brother or your sister's salvation. It's not even your neighbor's salvation. But how many of us can look at ourselves and say, I got a good reputation. Hallelujah, but what does God see in me? I'm just trying to go beyond what man thinks and think of what does God see. God said, I have not found your works perfect. And in other words, in the sight of God, you have some things that nobody else can see, just like those famous people that committed suicide. To look at them externally, it looked all right. They had a good name. They had a name that they were alive, but the real issue is that they were dead. So this afternoon, if we were to examine ourselves, and the scripture does say, examine who? Yourself. You know, it's so easy when you're looking at somebody else. You know, how many know it's easy when you look at somebody else and say, you did this wrong, you did that wrong, you ought to have done this, and you ought to have done that. All right, okay. I've heard people say that. I mean, y'all don't do that. None of y'all do that. None of y'all look at somebody and say, if I were you, I would have done it this way. But I'm talking about for real. And the man thinks the thing, he knows it not, he has his love to know it. But I'm saying, how many of us have said, if I were you? Have any of y'all ever said, if I were you? No, I said it. Yeah. If I were you, I would have done it this way. But then when you are you, and you're in that predicament, you don't do it that way. Because it's easy to judge somebody else's situation. Hallelujah. But when you are in the storm, somebody said, I can't figure out how Peter could walk out on the water in the storm, trusting God, but all of a sudden he took his eyes off of Jesus. Hallelujah. But then when you get in the storm, what do you do? I'm saying today some of us may be in some stormy situations. Everything ain't like we wanted, but our eyes still on Jesus. Say, well, sister or brother or mother or this one or that one, even pastor, if I were you, I think I'd do it this way. But what do you do when you're in your storm? How do you handle your situation in your storm? Hallelujah. Yes, everybody is looking at you and you look like you got a good name. But I'm talking about me looking beyond the name now. I'm talking about when they really search your heart. Do you have a good name? You know, we sing a song, God's not dead, he's what? Come on, everybody, y'all don't know this, folks. God's not dead, he's yet alive. I can feel it. I can feel it. I can feel it. they singing to the praise team? Right? They all singing. If I can sing if I want to, but you know, right? But if you want to add another stanza to the song, we know we can feel it in our hand. We know we can feel it in our feet. Maybe some of us can feel it in our heart. But what about down in my soul? Can I say that God is alive and is alive down in my soul? Because when he's alive in your soul, you are sure on the outside. And God will look at you and say, man, that's my son. That's my daughter. Hallelujah. They're not representing the extemporaneous part of salvation, but they're living from the inside. Can we say thank you, Jesus? So I'm wondering this afternoon, I'm talking about a real relationship. I'm not talking about what everybody else is saying about you. Right now, forget about people. Because they don't count. The Bible says, fear not man, because man can only destroy the body. But the scripture says you ought to fear him that's able to destroy both the body and soul in hell. So what is your reputation? Hallelujah. And how are you spiritually? That's the only thing that counts is your spirituality. This flesh, the Bible says, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. Right? We all, cover some things. God said, you can't cover that because everything in my eyes is negative. God said, in my eyes, everything is open. God told the children of Israel, he said, because you waited to dark to do it, he said, you got to remember when I'm God, I see the dark as the light. Hallelujah. Even darkness can't hide that wrong that you're doing. So the call today is for some people that have a good reputation, but spiritually they are. Now verse 3 adds a little more clarity. When he said, remember, therefore, how thou hast received and we ought to hide the word of God in our hearts. Amen. We must earnestly contend for the faith. The scripture said we ought to receive with meekness God's engrafted word. Now, why do I receive his word with meekness? Because if you don't receive it with meekness, you'll put up roadblocks. Say roadblocks. What's a roadblock? I say, I'll do that in God's word, but I ain't gonna do that. We were down south, my brother Maggie, so I ain't, don't you say I ain't? I said, I ain't. So I ain't gonna do that. You know what I mean? Yeah. I told y'all, y'all gonna mess a person up when they saw the time, y'all gotta be looking so serious. I'm saying, relax, but be real. A roadblock said, you know, God Christ says, I ought to show love, but you don't know what that brother or sister did to me. I ain't gonna do it. God said, yeah, you got a good reputation, but I don't find your works perfect. Somebody got a bad attitude because of something that happened months, years ago, and you can't let it go, but you're on your way to heaven, and God said you want to forgive. I put up my roadblock. Anybody got a roadblock? Say, forgive. You just don't know what they did. You don't know how they hurt me. I can't forgive that. God said you got a good reputation, but your words are not perfect. What are you saying? You got too many roadblocks. You go too many spiritual detours. If you're on the road to salvation, you got to take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Put down some of those roadblocks. Put down some of those detours. Some of them, well, you know, my husband or my wife, he did some stuff I just don't like. God said, if you know, now I don't know where I'm going because this wasn't my message, but I'm going to go there anyway. Because y'all know when God starts speaking, I ain't going to turn to God. Ain't going to say, I told you to say this and you didn't say it. So I'm just, and you know what? I'm so glad I didn't know who was coming and who I prepared the message. Right? So you can't say I was talking to you. But I ain't talking to you. Blessed is you. Alright? Husband and wife are holding some yearly issues against each other because of what they did, or what they said, or how they acted. I heard the Lord say, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will I forgive. They say, well, if you don't know what they did, God didn't ask you to qualify what they did. All he said to do was what? Forgive. The church today is so bound in foolishness and mess and can't be free spiritually because they won't forgive. Ha! When I think of what I used to be, when I think of, I don't have to think about how messed up I was. If I was God, I would not have saved me. There was a whole lot of other people better than me. So if I was God, I would not have saved me. If we were God, we would have never saved the Apostle Paul, who was Saul, because he was despicable. He was the worst of the worst. All he ever did was persecute the church. But I'm so glad that God looks beyond all of our faults and that God sees our need. I'm so glad God looks beyond where I am and God sees where I need to go. You know, some of us, we got some petty stuff. Petty stuff means, look, okay, feeling. It makes you feel bad. But you got to get over that. You can't stay there. Paul said, forgetting those things which are. Stop right there. I'm trying to do what's right in the sight of God. How in the world are you pulling that train behind you all that weight from the past when the Bible said you ought to forget those things which are behind? Hallelujah. As long as you're looking back, but you cannot go forward. As long as you stay in the past, I've been hurt. You just don't know.
I can't say it like a wall. I gotta say it like a wall. You just don't. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know the stuff I've been in. If you were in my shoe,
you know why they're not in your shoe? Because God works on all of us differently.
But if you were in my shoe, I'm so glad nobody here don't talk like this. They don't ever talk like my shoe. But if you were in my shoes, you wouldn't forgive me.
You just don't know. You know what? How do you keep bringing it up when you're supposed to forget it? Hello? How do you keep resurrecting that dead stuff that was supposed to be in the past?
But you just don't know, man. That's a girl, baby. God, that's my wife. She's that baby. You just don't know. If you would see what I see, and you've been to the places that I've been to, you'd be just like me.
Forget about all the reasons why you justify wrong.
justify wrong?
Because God is a Savior. And you know what I like about God? The Bible says God is faithful.
Yes, He is.
God is faithful. Can we say faithful?
Faithful.
Because God is faithful, He won't mistreat you. God's not going to lead you down a road of destruction. God's not going to lead you in a path that's going to hurt you because He is faithful. Somebody said, well, our brother so-and-so, our sister so-and-so, this scripture eliminates if you were. God is faithful, and He will never put more on you than you are able to bear. But God will, with the temptation, make a way to it that you might be able to bear. That means that you are you, and you personally are different. So God is never going to give you my test for you. Because when God looks at me, and this is what we have to realize, when God looks at me,
I'll use me, because I know I messed up.
I know I ain't perfect. I know I got issues. One of my kids said, he said, yes.
He asked me why I used to say 7 o'clock.
Because we say 7 o'clock, man. 7. We don't say 7 o'clock. Like, so I ain't perfect. 7. He's got to do all that other stuff to be all politically correct. So if it's 7 o'clock, it's 7 o'clock. Right? And if we're supposed to, we're supposed to. Y'all supposed to. Why do you say I ain't perfect, all right? All right, so I got some issues. Look at me and say, I got issues. I got challenges. So I'm talking about me. God is not going to give you my challenge. Because God is working on me. And then in God working on me and giving me situations, He turns around and tells me, He said, now you work out
your own salvation.
Isn't it good to have a God like that? God said, now, He didn't say, now, Pastor Kent, I want you to work on assistant pastor, first lady's situation. Because y'all have two different situations. So you might share in some situations, but when the rubber meets the road, you got to work out your own salvation. So what you need to overcome won't be what she needs to overcome. So you need to stop looking at everybody else's situation and start saying, Lord, work on me. Lord, work on my situation. Look, can we say, Lord, work on me?
Lord, work on me.
We've been trying to fix the whole world, and we all messed up. Somebody said, oh, don't I pray? I pray this many times a day. Amen. I fast this many times a week. And I read my Bible. See, I got a good reputation. The Lord says there was a publican and a Pharisee. I don't know who's a publican and who's a Pharisee, but confine yourself to this. Said a Pharisee, said, oh Lord, I thank you that I'm not white. They got a bad reputation. I fast 3 times a day. I go through all the ceremony of apostle salvation. He said, you know how you do it? I got it together spiritually. And then there was a poor public that wouldn't even so much as lift his eyes up to heaven. But he pulled his hand on his breast. He said, Lord, remember me. I am a sinner. And the Lord looked at that situation. He said, now, you religious people, that's why I'm talking to those who want to be saved. He said, in the eyes of you religious people, the Pharisee had it together. He said, but I tell you the truth, the publican was more justified than the Pharisee because he elevated me and he de-elevated self. I wonder how many of us are lifting ourselves up because we want to have a good reputation. But God says, spiritually, you are dead. If I was a rhymer, I ain't a rhymer, but I would say you got a good reputation, but you got a bad salvation. But I ain't a rhymer, so I ain't gonna say that. But I just wonder how many of us do have a good, but when people look at our salvation, hello? When they look at our walk and our talk before God, they say, a good reputation, but a bad salvation. salvation. Well, where has my salvation been? Because my works are not perfect before God. Let's go to Peter. We're going to finish here in the book of Peter. Amen. We're going to finish here. We're working on our salvation. Peter chapter 5. The greatest affront or the greatest challenge to us truly being saved is getting out of our own way. Right? A lot of us are trying to be saved, but we're trying to do it our way. That's why the Apostle Paul, when the Lord finally got his attention, his prayer was, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Can you honestly, from the depth of your heart and soul this afternoon, say, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Now, don't start eliminating stuff. Say, Lord, I'm yours. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to say, I'll say. However you want me to act, I'll act. However you want me to think, I'll think, because I'm yours. That's the right attitude. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, likewise, and verse 5 says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Is yeah, my mother used to say, Jesus, when I said, we knew we were in trouble. I want this God speaking in your us right now. To, you know, see, we didn't get 1, 2, 3. We got to go get that switch that I can bring up. That switch drove the foolishness out of us. Right? So we got one time, we knew not to do it again. But I wonder how many to get God's like, when he looked at us, you just too proud. You don't have humility because you are reacting to how other people act. Humility says, you know what, I've been wrong. But I'll take it for the name of Jesus. Say, they said something ugly to me. They act the most ugly, ungodly way. But guess what? Humility says, I will. I know that. They take what I did. I'm just saying what the scripture says. Until you can learn to submit whole on to God, right? You can't get it. So it says, call with humility for God. God resisted those that elevate self, but he gave it grace. Every day I pray, Lord, keep me humble. If I'm not too proud, even when I went to my grandchildren every once in a while, they say, Grandpa, why don't we do this? Even though I don't fully agree with what they say, dude, I will do it anyway. You know why? Because I don't want them to think, why should I make a suggestion? You're never going to do it anyway. So even though it's probably a little out of the way, I will do some things that they ask me to do because I want to be humble. A lot of us don't want to be humble. If my way are, you don't know that saying either? If my way are, you're gonna do it like I said it. Guess what? Me and you gonna have to separate our ways. We can't be in the same room together. I can't be around you. I don't like the way you act. How are you gonna get together in heaven? And you can't get together on earth. You can't wrestle over the living. So God said, I resist the what? Proud. Yes, God said I resist you. Because as long as you're proud, you're not submitting to God. So he resisted the proud, but he gave his grace to the humble. And then he said, well, humble, you can't be humble for anybody else. You can only be humble for yourself. Humble yourself, therefore, under. When you're doing it, who are you doing it? Under what? So why is it not a prophet? You just let people walk all over you and do this and do that and do the other. You need to stand up for yourself. I'd rather humble myself. I don't know who I'm speaking to. But I'm speaking to somebody. I'd rather be humble myself under the mighty hand of God. Because I know as long as I'm doing it, if you do anything for God, you won't lose your reward. The Bible says even if you get a prophet,
Because God said you got a good name. That thou liveth, he said, but truly you are, you're dead. Why? Because your focus is too much on pleasing people. And you're eliminating God. Under the mighty hand of God, that he might. If you do anything for God, don't worry about suffering loss. Don't worry about what others are thinking. You just do right before God. Because when you do right before God, he will exalt you how? In due season. If Peter, what James said it this way, he says, submit yourselves to God. Then resist the devil and he will. But we don't want to submit to God. But we're trying to work on our own salvation through our own power. And we say, why does this situation keep repeating itself over and over again? Because we have not yet submitted. So once you submit to God and then resist, a lot of us are doing what we want to do and resisting, and the devil won't flee. But when you submit to God, then the devil will flee. He drops down a little further in verse 7. He said, casting. I just want to, honestly, I mean, be true to yourself. Forget about anybody else. I ain't going to even ask you to raise your hand because I don't want you to do it for anybody but for yourself. Honestly and truly, how many can say, I can cast all my cares upon him because I know that he caring for me. I'm just talking about, now some things, like I said, I heard somebody say, some things you got to do for yourself. You can't depend on God to do everything. Those are the things that you are qualified to do. But there are some things we're not qualified to do, only God can do them. So I need to cast all. Put all your stuff in one hand. All your stuff in one hand. Put everything, everybody want to put it in one hand. Everybody, come on, put it right here. Now cast it. You don't have to worry about God missing it. We can all cast it at the same time. He will catch everyone. Why? Because he God cares for you. We keep holding on to stuff that's causing a distance to separate us from God. We're not getting closer to God because we got some stuff that we're holding on to. We got some stuff that we can't let go of. A few years ago, I probably was in that same situation until one day I was praying. And I've shown some of these, I was praying one day, and I read about Jesus. When he knew that Judas betrayed him, when Judas led the band of soldiers together, Jesus looked at Judas and said, friend. Like, wow. I go through what Jesus went through. So how come I can't look at somebody that's done me wrong and call them friend? Yeah. Then I read a little further when I got to Acts, when they were stoning Stephen. How many know when you get stoned that hurts pretty bad? When you get stoned, it ain't nothing joyous. And when they used to stone them, they just stone them with little peace stones. They picked the biggest rocks up that they could throw. The Bible said when they were stoning Stephen. As he, I'm just saying, the little stuff he hold on to. I'm telling you what helped me. You know what, I need to be free spiritually too. So I can hold on to stuff and people and be mad. You know what? I'll mess with Mary Meyer. Yeah, I'll mess with this. I guess all right, I can mess a little bit. I'm saying, I'm going to get to see. I forget it. That's sorry. I forget it. But I can't be all messed up and be happy till the wrong person come around and my whole countenance changes. I can't be happy going in the rooftop, see somebody and act like I got to go do something. You know how we act? We do the part. We act the part. Yep, y'all with me? God's a leader. Hypocrite. Oh, hypocrite. I want to take a point. Your spirit is wrong. Your attitude is wrong. You know, I see people, they be so happy the wrong person come around like, what's wrong with you, bro? Always like this. No, you're not. You were just laughing and talking. Now you all of a sudden, you got a bad disposition. You got a bad attitude. Why your attitude so bad? You know what they did to me? God said, works not perfect. I'm going to point at both sides. So y'all, you know, I was pointing to you and said, Pastor, point at me. I ain't pointing at nobody. Listen, it's you. Isn't it time to be for real? Stephen was being stoned. Under all that excruciating pain, I'm not talking about mental pain. I'm talking about he was going through physical pain. I'm telling you why I'm getting me free. Right? I'm just saying, if we don't let go of some stuff, how can we freely serve God when every time you turn around, you're bringing up somebody else's situation? I'm going to say it like a man, so y'all ladies don't think I'm talking to you. But I am talking to you. Every time you turn around, you're bringing up somebody else's situation. God said, yes, you do have a reputation. You do have, can we say amen? That thou livest. He said, but you did. So Stephen, let me get Stephen out of the way. He's on all that excruciating pain. Now listen, this Bible says Stephen looked up into heaven and saw the Lord standing. Now when the Lord is sitting, that means God is not ready to act. Because he's sitting as judge and he's hearing what's going on. But this time, when Stephen looked into heaven, he saw the Lord standing. So when the Lord is standing, that means he's about to exact some retribution for those that are guilty. Amen. So he saw the Lord standing. So Stephen saw the Lord standing. Stephen was in all that pain. Stephen was suffering. But Stephen looked up steadfastly into heaven, and they said Stephen looked like an angel because of his spirit of forgiveness. I'm wondering how many today have a spirit of forgiveness. So when somebody looks at us, they say, I saw the face of an angel. Even in their wrong, they were spiritual. Stephen looked up into heaven and he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't even realize what they are doing. I wonder how many today, you know, bound up in a messed up situation because we can't forgive. Hallelujah. So when I read about Jesus, and then I read about Stephen, and then I read about how Paul of what other people think. worldly reputation you have today is what does God think about you? Who stood the altar? Hallelujah.